The following recording is offered by the Village Zendo. For more information, please visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ryoshin. It's wonderful to see so many faces here on this sunny spring morning. It's spring now, officially. I want to welcome our guests from Nepal. Thank you for being here in New York City on this beautiful spring morning. On the Village Zendo website, Roshi has written a short essay that can be found under the About Practice link regarding the five elements of practice here at the Village Zendo. And in the last section, which is about caring for ourselves, for our practice center, for each other, Roshi says, because we are a lay sangha, it's vitally important that our students take care of their health, their livelihoods, and the well-being of their families and communities. How to balance these demands with the demands of rigorous practice is our genjo koan, our life koan at the Village Zendo. So these two sentences were the inspiration for my talk today, harking both to Zen Master Dogen's wonderful essay called Genjo Koan, but also its meaning in my life, in our lives. How do we balance it all? Practice, work, family, our own needs, the needs of others in the world. Some days don't feel very balanced. Just as I was sitting down to write this talk, Sarah asked me, is it about a marmalade cat and a troubled nephew? I just laughed and I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. The marmalade cat is our youngest adopted cat, and he's roughly the color of marmalade. He's got the very most sweet disposition imaginable, and he's a little clown that's always making us laugh. The troubled nephew is now 17. He has autism. It's difficult enough to be 17, but he has his own unique challenges because of the way his mind works. We try to help him. I don't know if we do, though we like him very much, and hopefully he knows that. Genjo Koan. It's our mind on this beautiful spring morning. Sometimes it's dealing with illness. Or it's a teacher who is being drummed out of his position after 40 years because he's an atheist and a liberal in a conservative state. It's playing with a dog. It's cleaning up the dog shit in the backyard. It's finding time to practice. It's dealing with the emotions that arise in our lives, both our own emotions and the emotions of those around us, howeverly clumsy we do that. It's not easy dealing with powerful emotions, but they are the stuff of our lives. Just this weekend, I read a review of a book called Mama's Last Hug, which examines the fact that animals experience exactly the same emotions that we do. For decades, researchers were afraid of being accused of anthropomorphism when they were studying animals, so they obscured what we actually have in common with them. The review tells the story of a sickly, cancer-ridden patient who is overwhelmed with joy and gratitude when an old friend shows up to visit and to hold her hand. She breaks into a smile and just comes alive where before she could barely lift her head off the pillow. Except in this case, the patient is a chimpanzee, And the visitor is her former trainer, who she hasn't seen in years. And so the Dharma wheel turns, and reality is shown in all its many forms. It's how to live in this broken world. Since 2016, I have slowly tuned out the news, tuned out of social media. There are just too many problems in this world for me to face them every day in that form. I've turned to taking care of myself and those around me, treating people that I meet with kindness, going to Sing Sing to support their practice, helping support the Zendo. It's what I can do. I create these catalogs of my experience because ordinary life is filled with the 10,000 dharmas. And these dharmas are the gate of enlightenment and delusion. Returning to Dogen's Genja Koan, it's one of 95 essays in his great work, The Shobogenzo, or The Treasury of the True Dharma. That phrase is taken from what words of the Buddha on Vulture Peak, where he said, "I have a subtle teaching of the treasure of the true Dharma eye, the wondrous mind of Nirvana, the true form of no form. It does not rely on words and is transmitted outside the scripture. I give it now to Mahakashyapa." What is this true Dharma that the Buddha speaks of, that he gave to Mahakashyapa, and that is passed down to us today? This teaching that does not rely on words. And yet, one of the five elements of practice here at the Village Zendo is to study the teachings. So we have a Zen center and Dharma talks. We study historical texts and their meaning in our lives. If you read Yasutani Roshi's commentary on Dogen's Genja Koan, he dissects the words true Dharma to help us understand its meaning. Yasutani Roshi says true refers to absolute equality. The entire universe is equality. It completely swallows up differentiation. Dharma, according to Yasutani Roshi, is absolute differentiation, the relative, everything in the phenomenal world. It completely swallows up equality. And the true Dharma is that these things are exactly the same. Absolute equality and absolute differentiation. Buddha nature, the absolute, and causes and conditions, the relative, are not separate. The marmalade cat in the spring morning and the friend who is in pain, none of them has any abiding self. They are all born of causes and conditions as we are. Now, of course, this would just be a bunch of concepts, a bunch of empty words without, as Dogen calls it, practice realization. Through our sitting meditation, we glimpse our true nature, pure and unconditioned. And we glimpse its manifestation in all its messiness and contradictions. The poet Walt Whitman was also a great lover of catalogs, of lists. He realized himself many, many years ago, many decades ago, in the bustling life of New York City, the city we're in today, in his passions and in his foibles. He allowed himself to be whatever he was in that moment. He writes in Song of Myself, "My tongue, every atom of my blood formed from this soil, this air, born here of parents born here from parents the same, and their parents the same. I, now 37 years old, in perfect health begin, hoping to cease not till death." Does this seem to just hint a little bit at the cycle of dependent origination that is at the heart of Buddhist philosophy? I don't know if Whitman studied Buddhist philosophy or not, but he seems in Song of Myself, in which he views all of the bustling life of New York City as himself, as someone who deeply realized what we here also seek to realize. He says, and these are just lines from paragraphs, "I saw the marriage of the trapper in the open air in the far west. The bride was a red girl. The butcher boy puts off his killing clothes or sharpens his knife at the stall in the market. The Negro holds firmly the reins of his four horses." And later on, near the end, he says, "Do I contradict myself? Very well then, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes." And in the Genja Koan, "When all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there are delusion and enlightenment, practice, birth, death, Buddhas, and sentient beings, when all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma. When the myriad dharmas are all without self, when there is no I or me, there is no delusion, no realization, no Buddhas, no sentient beings, no birth, and no death. Since originally the Buddha way goes beyond abundance and scarcity, there are birth and death, delusion and realization, sentient beings and Buddhas." This paragraph describes in words the treasure of the true Dharma. It plays with different understandings of enlightenment, seeing a world of differentiation, realizing a world of equality, moving forward, moving back, seeing the world as nothing but myself. Do I contradict myself? Very well, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. I've read Yasutani Roshi's commentary on this paragraph dozens of times, and I can't touch it. I can't add a single word to it. I encourage you all to go back and read it, and to read it again and again. And after his commentary on these deeply philosophical words, these kind of difficult words, Yasutani tells us that these words of Dogen's and his words are just explanation. That's all they are, just an explanation to try to push something into our thick heads. Dogen then thrusts forth the living Dharma. He says, "Yet, though it is like this, flowers fall amid our longing, and weeds spring up amid our aversion." Isn't it so? And these words, which are much more immediate, they're much more about the moment in which you see the petals fall from the flower, or the moment at which you just are irritated at the weeds Yasutani says it's immediate as blood oozing from a cut. When you're bleeding, you stop the bleeding. You reach to stop the bleeding. There's nothing else but the bleeding. You stop and deal with the thing that matters right now. That's the true Dharma. It does not rely on words. And it is transmitted outside of scriptures. So I will let Walt Whitman have the final word. Again, from Song of Myself. Why should I wish to see God better than this day? I see something of God in each hour of the 24 and each moment then. In the faces of men and women, I see God. In my own face in the glass, I find letters from God dropped in the street, and every one of them is signed by God's name. And I leave them where they are, for I know that wheresoever I go, others will punctually come forever and ever.